You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Bike Radar podcast, brought to you by the team behind BikeRadar.com, Cycling Plus and MBUK magazines. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe. And if you can do so, leave us a rating on your podcast provider of choice. It really helps us reach other cyclists like you.
Hello and welcome to the Bike Radar podcast. I'm Ashley Quinlan, Senior Technical Editor for all things road and gravel here at Bike Radar. I'm joined by Simon Von Bromley and Liam Carhill, two of our, shall we say, road experts on the team. And we're here to discuss one of the hottest bikes that has launched this year, the new Giant TCR. Now, also at the same time, our other senior technical editor, Warren Roster, he's out in Taiwan at the moment, riding this bike, checking it out, getting the lowdown on it all. And we've got a little interview from his time out there that we'll share with you a little bit later. But first of all, we wanted to bring it back to the studio to start with, just to run our rule over the bike, essentially, and see what we think. So, before we get started, I'll ask you how you guys are. Simon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all good. Thank you very much. Obviously, always an exciting day when the new generation of TCR launches. It is one of my favourite bikes. I do own two. So, yeah, plenty of opinions on the subject and was very happy to see this one come.
Yeah, good. And you, Liam?
I'm very well, thank you. I've been covering this on video, so I've spent a lot of time looking at the press release for this. I'm more excited, though, about the fact that we might not have to ride through so many floods in the coming months.
Oh, well, the weather seems to
be picking up, and that really does improve my mood.
Well, I did do an Audax yesterday with my father, and it was very enjoyable. The roads are still pretty mucky, but a lot of sun. That ball in the sky.
No,
call this. I don't know what that is.
No.
That was really enjoyable at the weekend. So yeah, fingers crossed for better. Better weather ahead. But let's get back on task, shall we? About this new Giant TCR. Now, gents, what do we think of it? First of all, are we? Because when I look at the photos, I've got to say it looks pretty similar to the old one. And we say that about a lot of bikes these days, but about the new TCR, it seems to apply more than usual. What do you think?
I'll let Simon have the first word on this, because obviously, as a TCR owner, he's been waiting for this day. For a while. 4 long years.
Four long years. Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think, in terms of kind of some of the headline changes, Giant is saying that the kind of new frame set is 2.28 watts more aerodynamic than its predecessor at kind of 40 kilometers per hour. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of saying they've made a kind of total of, it's 0.5% stiffer, for example. So the silhouette is very similar. It's the kind of same compact frame design that we're kind of all very used to. So yeah, on paper, not a lot has changed. The most obvious change is the fact that it now has fully integrated cable routing at the front end for the first time. So the bike adopts the Overdrive Aero system that was first seen on the Propel in 2023 and then was ported over to the Defy and has now come here. I'm kind of ambivalent on whether this is a kind of good change. It's not unexpected. I think this is just the way the market's going.
Sure.
I think for me, it's probably a slight net loss. I think I preferred the ability to work on the kind of headset a bit more easily. But, you know, Giant is still pitching the TCR as a race bike, and practically every race bike these days has integrated cables. So don't think it's a surprise.
One of the most interesting lines I picked out from the press release was that Giant was saying that the new system makes it easier to live with. And I was just going, for who?
Yeah.
Shop mechanics, maybe? But yeah, this system does allow you to run extra hose length for your brake hoses. So in theory, as long as it's set up correctly in the first place, you will be able to make height adjustments to your stem height relatively quickly without having to cut the hoses. But how many of us do that, like on a regular basis? Not many.
I think it's also fair to say that, yeah, you could have, you know, it was also easy to run extra cable length of external routed cables.
I think,
you know, at least to give Giant credit, I do like the approach of taking a single system across the TCR, the Defy, the Propel. You know, that should mean that if you want a spare handlebar or a different stem or, you know, whatever you want, then your Giant dealer should have the parts, because
in stock in various
exactly,
sizes,
you know, in every size you need. So that's nice to see. And I do appreciate the fact that whilst the kind of there is a new series of integrated handlebars available from Giant's sibling brand KDEX that recently launched, they have stuck with a two-piece system that enables you to, you know, adjust both the obviously the stem length and the handlebar width independently, because those are critical issues for me.
Yeah, I think that's one of the key factors when you're actually going to buy a bike. It's something that we found, Simon was helping me with the Bianchi Specialissima review, and we were kind of trying to find out what sizes the
combinations you could get
the bar stem came in. And we just couldn't see it anywhere online. And, you know, we had to email Bianchi and found out the information eventually. They do 17 combinations, which is huge. It means that you're covered. But when you get an integrated system, you never know what you're kind of going to get and how. And even if you can make that change at, you know, the point of sale free of charge, how long is that, you know, part going to take to come to you? It's just all of these things. I'd really like to see that Giant has stuck with the two-piece system here. It's great.
Yeah, it occurs to me as well that, you know, if you've got, you know, say, let's use Bianchi as an example, 17, there are other brands do this as well, but, you know, they've got 17 different varieties, sizes of bars, distinct sizes of bars. Therefore, they've got to have 17 sort of designs for these bars as well, right? And layups and molds, etc. You know, if you've got a two-piece setup, you don't necessarily need to do that. It's fundamentally more modular, which means that, you know, you won't, and for the consumer, that's probably better because you can just change one bit rather than the whole lot. You know, if you're looking for a little bit less reach, then you just go for a slightly shorter stem. You can keep the existing bar you've got. So it's probably a little bit more sort of eco-efficient, as well as being cost-efficient for both brand and for the consumer at the end of the day. So
financially as well, you hope it leads to a slightly cheaper bike, because that brand isn't having to invest all of that time and money to develop and then actually produce 17 different bar and stem sizes.
But also, I think it works out for the consumer in the sense that if you only want to swap a stem, then you only need to swap a stem. You don't have to swap out a whole, you know, 400, 500 pound handlebar, integrated handlebar, just to, you know, get an extra 10 mil of reach. So
sure.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, I kind of like moving on from the kind of the front end, you know, I'm sorry to say it, lads, there's no more rim brake version available. So Joe Norledge, our dearly departed colleague, has brought one of the last generation.
He's got a good investment there.
Yeah, potentially.
Going up in value.
But that's meant that basically Giant has been able to open up the kind of, there's no longer a big yoke at the seat stays where, you know, you would have put a rim brake caliper, for example. So that's allowed them to open up that, which is, you know, cut a little bit of weight, increase compliance a little bit more as well.
Slightly more tyre clearance with that as well.
Yeah, 1 millimetre more tyre clearance, which I guess is, you know, nice to have, but
I call that breathing room. You basically, it's still 32, but you've got a little extra breathing room just in case you.
To be honest, you may well be right, because the new wheel sets that Giant is speccing on these are kind of have wider rims. And so, you know, specced with a kind of similar tyre, the tyres would now have grown.
Yeah.
Because you know, the previous Giant wheel sets and Kalex wheel sets used a kind of 19 millimeter internal rim width, and they're now up to 22.4. So you can expect slightly larger tires.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think, you know, we have, you know, I wrote an article last week that was kind of, you know, things that I would like from a new TCR. I didn't quite expect that it was going to come quite so quickly. And I got some of the things that I asked for. I think, you know, it's no surprise to see Giant kind of sticking with its relatively conservative philosophy for the TCR. It hasn't overdeveloped this bike in the last, you know, 20 years, really. You know, I've got a 2009 Giant TCR. And, you know, if you silhouetted the bikes and, you know, took off the brakes, you would
struggle to see the difference.
You would struggle to see the difference. And, you know, the Giant is a great bike. It's very, very popular. I love mine. So there is a kind of argument that, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't mess with a proven formula. My only kind of concern is that, you know, with Giant's Propel being so light at the moment, you know, it's kind of a real, you know, one bike to do everything in terms of road racing and fast road riding. My concern is that the Giant TCR now feels a little bit like it hasn't got, it's kind of lost its niche a little bit, you know, where it's not kind of like as light and traditional as something like a Specialized S-Works AFOS that Liam has, for example, which uses round tubes, really leans into that lightweight thing. It has a semi-external cable routing for kind of ease of maintenance. But then it isn't as aerodynamic as the Propel. You know, Giant says the Propel is a faster bike. But if there's only kind of, you know, a couple of hundred grams in it, which there is, according to Giant stats, you know, all of the racers on the kind of Giant sponsored teams, they all choose the Propel now, basically. So I wonder, and, you know, maybe Ash, you have an opinion on this. I wonder where that leaves the TCR now.
You know, we have the advantage of having sort of pre-discussed this slightly before we came on air. But the, you know, I think you are right, generally speaking. That being said, the TCR still has a, say, a more traditional silhouette. It might be slightly easier to handle in some scenarios. In, you know, in the wind, for example, you get lots of crosswinds. You know, you live in a gusty area. Maybe the TCR will be a little bit easier to handle. But you're right. The thing that pulls the two bikes apart isn't quite there anymore on paper. And when we always, you know, many people look at, you know, bikes and decide that, you know, it's light, stiff, and, you know, more aerodynamically efficient, which, you know, is basically what the new TCR is and just brings it closer to the Propel than it otherwise would be. And I think it's a shame, but then I think had, you know, with the boot on the other foot, had Giant decided to make it more Athos-like, I don't know whether it would have made it as successful as the Athos has been. Because the Athos sort of trailblazed a little bit in that direction when we consider the recent sort of history of bike design. So I wonder whether they thought, you know, this is just a chance for us to make the TCR more TCR-ish. But on that point, you know, the TCR was a trailblazing bike to begin with. Genuinely, we don't use that word lightly. You know, it basically brought the geometry that we see today on bikes, and it's kind of still the blueprint. But now it isn't doing anything new. And I think that's a shame. And I think that's a shame for many people who may look at a Giant TCR and say, well, I really want one. If you've already got one like you've got. So I mean, I'll ask you the question, Simon, with your own money, would you go out and buy a new one on, you know, that you've got, you know, you've got the previous generation one already?
Yeah, definitely not. And I don't, you know, I don't mean to be kind of be flippant about it, but, you know, there's nothing here that would tempt me to upgrade. Now, it is worth saying that I have a very nice TCR from the previous generation. Mm. And, you know, if you had a Specialized Tarmac SL7, is there much to tempt you to upgrade to a Specialized Tarmac SL8?
Probably the same question, right?
Not really.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between my 2009 model and the 2021 model is significant. Obviously, there's the move from rim to disc brakes, but the ride quality, even though the silhouette is the same, the ride quality differences there are enormous. You know, the 2009 model was from that era when Giant was trying to do everything it could to win the Tour magazine stiffness to weight ratio test.
It
is just, it is so incredibly stiff.
Yeah.
And to the point where it's, you know, it's chattery because you can only get really narrow tires in it. And the 2021 TCR bike is much more refined. And from Warren's kind of early impressions from the kind of launch, this next one is, you know, similarly refined. And so I suppose if you had, you know, maybe a, you know, 2018 Giant TCR, then the kind of difference between that one and this one might be more significant. And you know, just like if you had a Specialized Tarmac SL6 to an SL8 or an SL5 to an SL8, then that's different. But, yeah. You know, obviously, sure, there'd be plenty of people out there who are just coming at it from not having a very nice bike anyway, right? What about you though, Liam? How do you feel about, you know, should Giant have gone down that road of making it more like an Athos, or do you think they're right to stick it as a race bike?
I think if I have to put myself in two pairs of shoes right now, consumer, but also pro racer. If I'm a pro racer, I'm going to go and have the Propel. Why? Because it's faster.
Mm-hmm.
Aero is faster. And you don't optimize for that 10K climb at the end of the stage. You optimize for the 140 kilometers preceding it, because that's where you'll save the most amount of energy. If I'm a consumer, and this is why I have an Athos, I don't race anymore. And if I did, the reason that I'm not winning that bike race is not me having a frame that's slightly less aero. It's the fact that I haven't done any training for 3 months. So if I wanted a consumer bike, then I can do away with the 4.34 watt saving.
So as a complete bike, it was just over 4 watts at 40 kilometers per hour. But crucially, that includes the kind of like the new wheel set, the new cockpit, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I can do away with those things. Mm. And I just want a bike that is genuinely nice to ride and easy to live with.
But, you know, under the skin, and I want to dwell on this point just for a couple of minutes, you know, under the skin, Giant says it's made some, you know, edits to the way it creates the frame. And, you know, Giant's one of those few brands out there, and they are only a few brands that sort of owns their own sort of carbon manufacturer processing. And they've moved to this kind of cold cutting.
They've got their meat slicer out.
Yeah. Talk about the ham slicer. It's instead of laser cutting all the carbon layers, essentially, and all the cutout pieces that they then stick together and put into the mold, they've used a new cold cutting method, which we don't have a massive amount of detail on.
Mm.
That being said, they say it helps them to create neater edges. There's less overlap, and that's kind of contributed to some of the weight savings.
Yeah,
I think it's 690 grams for a frame set in a size medium for the top spec SL.
I was just about to say this cold cutting process is only available for the top end SL.
Yes.
Frame sets.
Yes, the other two, how you still use standard, laser. Well, not standard. Laser cutting sounds pretty cool still.
Quite cool.
I think laser cutting was their kind of top tier technique from the kind of last model. And it, obviously, it's funny to see that. You know, I mean, this happens for every single brand. But what was the kind of best technology last time, and everyone raved about, is now kind of like, now they're telling us, well, it wasn't quite perfect, but we've got this new technique, which is even better, which I suppose that's just the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's allowed them to sort of to cut down the amount of pieces in the frame, I think from 330 down to 270 is their reference point that they've used. And, you know, in theory, that makes it stiffer as well, because you've got fewer sort of flexible parts and, you know, conjoins within that and so on. So, I mean, it's nice to see that. I'd like to see that Giant is demonstrating what it's trying to do to improve a bike for the consumer at the end. Now, that consumer may be kind of a pseudo racer come fast sportive rider or whatever they may be, but it's nice to see Giant still trying to push the envelope a little bit in terms of frame set layups. Do you have any opinions on that?
Yeah, I think this is just, you know, I think this is a real just continuation of the same. Giant makes a big thing about system efficiency, which is kind of what it means by when it's kind of combining its overall pedaling and handling stiffness and weight. And I think Giant is still very keen to stress that, in its opinion, you know, the TCR is about that kind of stiffness to weight ratio. And you know, obviously, you know, watts per kilogram and stiffness to weight, and you know, all of these things, you know, for a climbing bike are very important. And so the TCR does feel like it's evolved into, you know, whereas it was Giant's all-round race bike for such a long time, it does feel like it is, you know, has evolved into more of a lightweight climbing bike. And perhaps that's where it kind of sits now alongside bikes such as the Canyon Ultimate, the Trek and Mondo, you know, that sort of thing. Perhaps the problem is that it's kind of held, it's hamstrung to an extent by the UCI weight limit, right? I think Warren's testing a size large TCR Advanced SL0 at the moment, and it weighs 6.4 kilos. Now, a size large in Giant terms is more like an XL. It's like a 58.
So Was is a big boy.
Yeah. So you know, he's a tall lad. And so a 6.4 kilogram 58 XL bike is very impressive.
That was with the out front mount and the bottle cages as well.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously without pedals. But so, you know, so if the UCI weight limit was to suddenly drop to six and a half kilos, then, you know, suddenly a bike such as this would become very relevant again, to have that like ability to hit hyper low weights but still have, you know, good aerodynamic efficiency. You know, perhaps it's the sport that needs to move to allow bikes like this to become, you know, more relevant to racers and those type of people. But obviously the rest of us don't have to worry about UCI limits. So if you, if that kind of thing excites you and this, you know, it sits in that that right kind of in the Venn diagram of characteristics you're looking for. Because it, as you said earlier about the Propel, for example, yeah, it does come with deeper wheels. It has deeper frame tubes. Maybe you're a lightweight rider and they're kind of slightly harder to handle. It is ultimately about the balance that you're looking for in a bike, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And just to, you know, on the UCI point, you know, I do think that we're starting to get to a point now overall, and maybe the TCR is the latest example of this, where it's so difficult now to make any sort of, I won't say the word meaningful, I know I just have said it, but, you know, I don't mean the word meaningful, but I do mean the tiniest improvements with each bike that comes along, and that the previous generation doesn't feel much different from the current generation that you're riding now, for example. It's extremely rare these days.
Yeah, there's not 500 grams to take off a 700 gram frame set,
no,
is there?
No, there isn't, exactly. Or, you know, there's not that much compliance you can shoehorn into it, for example. The clearance is the clearance, and, you know, you want to balance that with speed, and we're all sort of arriving at a certain level. And I think that, you know, the regulations such as they are now are starting to hamstring, you know, brands a little bit. But that's my personal take on it. The other thing I'll remark as well, before we move on to Warren's interview, is that their testing protocols seem to be reasonably robust. We haven't got masses of data that came out of it, for example, but Giant tells us that it used a dynamic moving mannequin, not quite a human being. It's not breathing, as far as I'm aware. And go on.
But Simon. I think, you know, to Giant's credit, I think a kind of moving mannequin, where basically, so it's a full body mannequin. It's a rider sits on the bike, you know, with hands on the handlebars, and then the legs move, and the drivetrain moves, and the wheels move. So this is all done at the GST wind tunnel in Germany. And I think, to Giant's credit, this is pretty good because, yeah, obviously, you know, some brands just test the bike alone, which doesn't, you know, doesn't sort of simulate the interaction between the rider and the bike. Some brands just have legs, and so obviously, you know, that's better than nothing, I guess. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not a kind of true representation. The problem with a real rider is getting consistent, repeatable data.
Yes.
You know, we've spoken to wind tunnel people who said, "Oh, we'd rather actually not have a rider if possible,"
yeah,
because they add too much variation. And when you're trying to just, you know, discern small advantages like, you know, two watts or something, having a real rider in there, there are very few riders who are consistent. So, you know, Giant says it kind of produced the tube shapes using CFD modeling, which is, you know, very, very common these days, and then it validated those in the GST wind tunnel in Germany, which is a highly respected facility, and they appear to have a good protocol. So that the yaw range was from minus to plus 20 degrees, a speed of 40 kilometers per hour, which is a little bit slower than what we would normally see, but that kind of hopefully makes it, you know, if they'd gone for a higher speed, say 50 kph, which, you know, we're kind of seeing with some aero bikes these days, then the watt figures would have been higher. But
yes,
obviously it feels less relevant to your everyday rider.
Yeah So credit again for actually keeping it relatively real. Again 40 kilometers an hour for a lot of people is still going to be quite fast.
Yeah,
but the same, it's not 50.
No, at 40 kilometers per hour, you know, I used to race back in the kind of pre-aero days when no one had an aero helmet, and, you know, there were occasional crits that hit averages of 40k an hour. So that's not unrealistic for an outer racer. So yeah, I think it's nice to get that level of transparency around the kind of aero claims as well. And the fact, you know, it's on the one hand, you can say, well, you know, 2.28 watts gains over the previous frame set doesn't sound that impressive. But if the claims are wildly outlandish,
yeah, then we all doubt it, don't
then,
we?
Then we all doubt them. So, yeah, we can't have it both ways.
No, that's true.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Well, thank you, gents, for your take on the new TCR. So let's hand over to Warren now, shall we? So he has been at the launch, as I mentioned, out in Taiwan, and he's been talking to Giant's Andrew Giuskaitis. Now, Giuskaitis is a bit of an expert in their new manufacturing technologies around cold cutting and so on. So Warren's asked him a little bit about this, you know, where the TCR fits alongside the new Aero Propel. So it'll be interesting to hear that take from Giant themselves. And how Giant has looked beyond the frame when designing the bike. So taking into account, you know, the involvement of Kadex as well with the new wheel set and so on. So over to Warren in Taiwan.
Hi, it's Warren Ruster, the senior technical editor for Road and Gravel at Bike Radar. And I'm over here in Taiwan, in Taichung, talking to Andrew about the new TCR. Andrew, if you can just give me a quick introduction of what you do here at Giant and what your thoughts are on the new bike.
Yeah, thanks, Warren, and hello, listeners. We're here in Taichung, Taiwan. We're here to introduce the new TCR, the TCR range. In the TCR range is TCR Advanced SL, and that is the bike that you've had an opportunity to ride for this week. Advanced Pro is the second level, and the Advanced is the entry level. Big news on this bike is, no surprise, it is lighter. It is stiffer, and really for the first time, we've taken a serious look at aerodynamics on this bike. So, huge engineering challenge in order to shave weight off this product while adding stiffness, especially to the bottom bracket area, and introducing serious aero elements into the bike. That's a huge challenge for us.
I mean, that's got to be the biggest challenge, isn't it? Because usually you can have more stiffness and less weight. Those two go together. I mean, it's very rare that you can introduce more aerodynamics and more stiffness and less weight. Those three never seem to have been compatible.
Yeah, they are certainly not best friends. Usually when it comes to aerodynamics, that means you're adding shaping. Adding shaping almost always adds weight. So it was a huge challenge for us. So we had to make very, very strategic decisions where to add that aero shaping, where it made the biggest difference, while also really paying attention to where we could reduce the frame weight in the material there, while also keeping the material in the bottom bracket, certainly for pedaling stiffness. Huge challenge.
What really intrigues me, though, is one of the things you did announce, and that's your cold cutting technology. If you could sort of...
For sure. So you got an opportunity. You were in our factory just a few hours ago. You're really one of the first journalists to truly get into the inner sanctum of our factory today. I hope you enjoyed that. You saw cold blade cutting technology. This is new to Giant. And the way we used to cut the actual pieces, we call them swatches of the material. There are 270 of these pieces that go into the TCR Advanced SL. We used to cut them at the time, was literally cutting edge, and it was using laser technology. Very, very precise cutting technology. But we learned through a lot of that type of cutting that the laser itself added heat to each of the swatches. As you learned earlier today, those swatches, those little bits of carbon bits, are very susceptible to heat. They don't like heat. That's why we went into the freezer after we saw the actual carbon
so
being made.
If we're talking about laser cutting, and everybody, you know, if the minute someone says lasers, you think, oh my God, that's got to be precise, it's a laser. But that introduction of heat, and when we're talking now about pieces of carbon that are fractions of a millimeter thick, it will, you know, as you explained, and as your tech guys have been explaining to us, that heat can actually sort of pucker the edges very slightly.
Not only pucker the edges, but also activate the resin. You saw the resin being added. You don't want that resin to be activated until it's absolutely the right time to do that. Laser would microscopically do that.
And so to counter that, you ended up previously having to have more overlap between the individual pieces. Now, this cold cut technology gives you that absolutely perfect edge. Therefore, much, much less overlap, even like fibers almost butting together. And that's how the main reason you've been able to reduce that weight. And I think one thing that I don't think anybody outside of Giant before you let me in to see today is you guys weave your own carbon. I've been to lots of factories throughout the world and I've never seen that before.
Yeah. To our knowledge, we're the only major manufacturer that takes that extra step of creating our own carbon sheet. You saw it today. It was a whole process. It's very involved, but it's totally custom to Giant.
Yeah, I mean, I think we might get some feedback on, you know, when all of this information's out there, and obviously if you guys are listening to the podcast now, that the new TCR doesn't seem to be this sort of stratospheric jump from the old one. You know, it's very, very incremental improvements in all the key areas. I mean, was that, I mean, I guess your goal was to improve the TCR, but you didn't want to fundamentally change what the TCR was. I mean, you didn't want to move it towards the Propel, and you didn't want to make a sort of non-racers super lightweight bike. You wanted the TCR to be what the TCR has been for, well, nearly 30 years now.
Exactly right. And that is the bike for GC champions.
Right. And on that score, I mean, we have seen in the last few years that a lot of your Pro Tour teams, both men and women, have been choosing the aero race bike, you know, as the predominant number one bike. Do you think that's the minds are going to be changed with the team now that they've got this new TCR? Are we going to see the TCR more?
Honestly, no. You're still,
because they're still aero obsessed.
Our Propel, our aero road bike, is still that bike when you have the absolute, that final sprint, that final stretch where you're hitting 40, 50K, okay, and you need to win that race. As long as you can make it over the mountains and get to that final home stretch and do your job, which is to win sprints, Propel is still that bike. Right.
How about classics and the sort of monuments? Do you think you'll see more
classics? I would hope to see a lot more TCR.
Right. And I guess the only other thing I wanted to touch on was this bike, especially more so than any before. I think the ninth generation, you introduced a little bit of it, obviously, mm-hmm, with the, you know, the high-end cadence parts that were, sure, brought to that. But from what I understand, and you know, talking to the Kadex guys, this bike was designed as, it was just like a system concept. So the wheels are designed to work optimally with the TCR. The new handlebar is designed specifically for the TCR. Not that you couldn't use it on any bike you chose, but it's one of the first times I've seen a bike as a package. It's not great frame and let's pick parts. It's those parts, that frame, were designed in the round, as it were.
That's exactly right. When we wanted to take TCR to the 10th generation, we knew we had to work together. Before, we were working silos, the frame guys, you know, the fork guys together, but the component guys were on their own. And it would just be like, okay, we're done with our project, they're done with their project, let's get together, put it together, see what happens. We absolutely worked together on this project, and the wheel system that you rode today, and the saddle, and the handlebar, and the stem, we were all in the same room together saying, what's our end goal? Where are we gonna get there? How are we gonna get there? And what do we need to do to work together to get to the end goal, which is the bike you rode today?
Thank you. Well, thanks for your time, Andrew. And I'll see if I thank you tomorrow after our 100K multi-mountain epic in this heat and humidity. I think it'll be, it's gonna be a fun day.
It will be, thanks. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you.
So there you have it. That's what Andrew Giuskaitis says about it. And thank you, Warren, for bringing that to us out there. But we want to talk a little bit about price before we rung off the podcast. So, Liam, tell us what your thoughts about this.
For sure. It seems to be a bit of a mixed bag, depending on kind of where you are in the world. At the base of the price structure, the TCR Advanced 2 remains at £2,699. That's in the UK. But in the US, it's up by $200 to $3,200. Meanwhile, at the top end of the scale, the Advanced SL0 with Jura Ace, which is obviously the bike that we'd all go for, that costs £11,999 or $12,500. That's up from £10,999 or $12,200. The bike that I've been riding was the Advanced Pro Zero. That's £6,500 in pounds or dollars. That is up, though, by £500 or $250. So
it's reflective of what's going on in the industry at the moment, isn't it? It's not as bad as you might think it could have been in some areas, I think.
Definitely at the lower end.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really stepping into the market, things aren't looking too bad. But as you go up to the mid-range and above, things are getting quite pricey, but we obviously have full pricing details over on bikeradar.com if you want the specific model prices or prices by region.
Yeah, and it is prices by region is important as well. If you're living in Europe, for example, across, you know, France and Germany, for example, the prices can be a little bit different.
Yeah.
And that's simply because, you know, and it's understandable, Giant allows the, in each part of its business allows it to, you know, dictate the prices for the market. So, you know, it's €1 different in some places. It's a couple of hundred euros different in others. So, pay attention to that when you're looking at our online news story. But I think that's us for today. Thank you very much, gents, for joining me. And until next time. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you've not done so already, please subscribe and share with your friends, or leave us a rating if you've enjoyed this episode.